Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
For this run, it'd be great if we could stay close to some toilets.
Okay. You want to go gentle? Should we go round this bit?
No, let's go over to the other park, because these toilets are not...
You created real jeopardy there. You're like, we need toilets, and these ones aren't here.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Let's head closer to the others.
Yeah.
I said I was going to blow my nose, didn't I? Did I blow my nose? I didn't, did I?
No. Let's do a pavilion stop, get some nose wiping.
Oh, I've got a tissue.
Oh, okay.
I mean, don't worry about me.
There was I assuming that would be something we need to
do. Well, you know what happens when you assume.
You make an ass out of you and me.
Oh.
I've never said that before in my life.
How did you know? That's right. I was going to tell you a joke I'd heard, but I'm not going to. I'm going to shame myself with it. Though I did try my new riddle on Paul the other day, which was, so Holmes and Watson.
First of all, can I get the other tissue?
Oh, you're going to blow too, of course. Go for it.
Thank you. Can I have it?
That's yours. You can keep that now. So Holmes and Watson are at a breakfast buffet. Listeners have heard this, by the way, if this makes the cut. Holmes and Watson are at the breakfast buffet, and it's like quite a well-equipped but straightforward breakfast buffet. What does Sherlock Holmes have to drink? The juice! Oh, you got it right! You were just going to get it right! Damn it. Let's start. Okay.
Let's resist Eleanor's urge to tear off.
Absolutely. Yeah. Welcome, Running Commentary listeners. You hear once more our dear friend Eleanor Tiernan stepping in for Tonks. Where Tonks? We'll get to that. But yes, key is that the last time we did this, we ran off like rats out of a trap, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm happy to go. I mean, if we just suddenly walk for no good reason, I'm totally into that.
Yeah. And that would be very...
See what we're doing now. We're not going to go any faster than this.
Yeah. It's kind of antithetical to my running trend, which is to just zoom off and not enjoy it at all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm getting better and better at going slow. Funnily enough, I'm actually in life. I'm very much someone who goes slowly, and that it can take me a decade to realise an ambition.
It's all right.
But that's okay, as long as you get there.
Yeah, but like, tell me how that means that you're... Because with your running, you're just going from strength to strength. You're doing longer runs. You're doing more of them.
Yeah, well, part of that...
But that shouldn't be happening, because you're getting old, Rob.
Well, I would say... Thanks, by the way. No, it's a true story. The funny thing is that... I think there's two things there. One is...
I hope the listeners don't think I was rude there.
No, they loved it.
Saying that to you.
I am.
I'm hoping that I...
Knocking on. I've got the half century.
No, you're well enough.
No, because I'm definitely getting better at running. And that is kind of balancing the fact that I'm probably getting slower at running. I'm also hiding it by doing lots of different kinds of running. So like we were saying, I used to run flat out. You know, didn't really do park runs, but I went flat out and went as far as I could. And I took that all the way to like a half marathon and a marathon. But I never did anything other than run as fast as I possibly could for years.
Yeah. Remember the first park run I saw you on? I think it was my second or third, and I was doing Hackney Marshes, which is one of the ones where you go in one direction and you double back and you come back. And I was, you know, down the field, as you tend to be, and then the leaders were coming towards me on their return leg, and I saw you.
Yeah.
And you were bloody bombing it, tearing along. That's a 20-minute kind of time.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's going on there?
Still running park runs a bit like that.
Yeah.
But the rest of the time, not so much. Although I think you see, that's the tester, because I wonder if I'll ever be as fast as I was, but I'm still questing. I'm questing for it, you know?
Yeah.
That's my thing now. Now I've gotten rid of all these long runs I was doing. That's my plan for this summer, is to see how fast I can get.
Right, yeah. It would be interesting.
I should probably be quite patient though, because the 50K mountain ultra I did was Saturday a week ago. And I went back to parkrun on Saturday. So it's like 1 week later. And I thought, as usual at parkrun, I thought, well, I'll take it easy. 20:56. So I'm still under 21.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, my fastest is something like, well, it's well under 20. And that's an interesting bar.
Yeah.
Because I think, if I'm honest, part of it is how, blooming, what's the word, reconciled you are to it, you know? I think one of the reasons I might never get under 20 again is that I don't really mind if I don't. What about you? Have you been park running?
Last one I did was in Birmingham, Cannon Hill.
Oh, yeah.
When I was training for the half marathon in Brighton. That was so good.
Was it very busy, the one in Birmingham? I love that park run.
Yeah, it was really good. Only slightly marred by one factor.
Uh-huh.
Which was, the ground is a bit wet.
Yeah.
And I've been trying out these new runners, which are great in many, many ways. These Hoka One
ones. Is that what you're wearing right now?
Have them on at the moment.
I'm going to get and some visual aids.
They've really helped with one absolutely crucial thing, which I kept getting these stress fractures in my feet.
Oh, yeah. You talked to us about that before.
I did, yeah. And was labouring for ages trying different things, and nothing was working, and I get so far with training for something, and
I remember
I
you
just
kind of limping into A&E at some point, so
yeah,
it's been bad in the past.
Yeah, well, I switched to these runners and I've been able to do really long runs in them, been great. However, the thing is, they're not very good on wet surfaces.
Right.
So, and when I was looking them up online, the reviews of them on YouTube, they're very positive reviews, which they should be.
Yep.
But there are a lot of American reviewers who I don't think are reviewing them as much on wet surfaces.
Yeah, yeah,
as
because
we have
of the
in
weather.
The UK, because the weather's better. So
they're off.
That's just something I would add. And that day in Birmingham was, I find myself having to just slow down to try and stay on my feet rather than on my ass.
Yeah, 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 that's an issue. And the other thing is that it can really make you, if you're worried you're going to fall, it can really tense you up.
Yeah.
I remember running around
the feeling.
Canary Wharf bit in the last London Marathon. And there's loads of big, like, well, what I say, manhole covers, but you know, proper access panels, that's a better phrase for it. And, you know, I didn't like running across them.
Yeah.
And there's loads, so you're just breaking, it's breaking your rhythm right up.
Yeah, yeah. And as you say, yeah, it's an underlying kind of stress that'll translate throughout the body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just a little note for listeners, we're running around Victoria Park, and it is, as ever, full of exciting different people doing all kinds of things. And you'll have heard quite a lot of that, hopefully, in the background. They're filming. There's a photo shoot going on over here on the left, which is literally the second one we've passed.
Yeah.
And that's just it's the tip of the Victoria Park iceberg. And
it's
also
quite a shooting location here. I often see, like, big vans pulled up, catering vans. And you go, I'm probably going to volunteer Ryan Gosling on this run.
Yeah, I recorded an advert for cider here once upon a time, as you probably know.
Yeah.
Great days.
Or catastrophe. That's the kind of thing that we filmed around here.
Yeah, yeah. All the sketches on the big train. Whenever they go somewhere outside there, they're always in Finsbury Park. There's one where they're protecting the president, except it's a duck. Good old big train. Do you think, with his friendship with Simon Pegg, do you think Tom Cruise ever sits down and watches Big Train? Simon, show me some of that old show you did.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
I think he does, but when Tom Cruise stands to gain something from it. If he's... I don't know.
I dreamt about Tom Cruise last night.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't happen every night. I've made that sound like it was like, oh, Tom. But I had quite a fun, complicated dream where me and my family were working our way up through a massive brilliantly unusual cruise liner. And it was going through beautiful kind of Scandinavian fjords at sunset. And we were trying to get on deck to see the view. But we were just moving through the middle of it, and it was like parts of it were like old, you know, dusty rooms with nice furniture.
Oh, like a Titanic kind of cruise.
Yeah, it had everything. Or like the SS Great Britain, if you've ever been to that. And seeing people, you know, just getting to bits. Everyone going, oh, hi. Oh, yeah. And I think it was like a comedy gig, and everyone knew who I was. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm on my way upstairs, you know. And at one point, we bumped into Tom. And we said, oh, Tom, we're going to go and see the sunset. And he couldn't come away because it was so basic. He was just behind like a table. He was handing out leaflets. So I've got to hand out these leaflets. I think he was trying to get people to join the...
Scientology?
Well, no, I think like after Top Gun when he tried to get people to join the military.
Oh, wow.
I think he was doing that. He's saying, you see Maverick. Why not... Let's think about the armed forces. But he was really like, it was really like he was stuck on a minimum wage job and couldn't leave his post. Which was quite a fun role for Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Punchline, the whole dream was that me and Julia got to the very top of the boat. And I realised that by the time we got there, the boat had actually been around like a 180 hairpin. And we were looking at exactly the same view that we'd seen as we set off.
That's a quite good dream recall you have there, Rob.
Yeah. I could tell you more, but I think it's pretty dull already. So I was going to tell you about Paul, because poor Paul.
Now let's not talk about him.
Let's not talk about him. No refunds! He can't be here today because he had a bad weekend. He went off to do a gig on Thursday, I think it was, and his car broke down properly. It was a proper hard shoulder of the motorway till dawn, night out. I think he had to miss a gig, all that comedian's drama. And you don't get so much of that these days, do you? What with cars and roads and modern life. And
so this is, what night, sorry?
Last Thursday, I think.
Oh, right, so it wasn't even train strike day.
No, no. And yeah, although he would have wished he was on a train.
Yeah,
so they do also
break down. Because that's what a lot of comedians are finding themselves in car situations that wouldn't normally.
That's right.
At the weekend, which is...
Yeah, he left some other comedians on the side of the road who haven't been seen since.
Yeah.
Anyway, he finally got home at like dawn, having kind of not done the gig. And
had to call AA like.
Yeah, did all that stuff. Yeah, and then, I don't know if he was hanging around in the cold or whatever, but then after that he came down with a cold.
Oh, shit.
And he's crook. And right. In light of what we were saying about coming back and assessing fitness and your shoes, Paul's on a... He's on a good upward swing at the moment. He's, you know, having wrestled with injuries for a couple of years, he's feeling better, going strong and training for a long run. So here's to him. We'll find out next week how he's doing. And so thank you for stepping in. Me and Ellen were going to be meeting up today anyway. The key detail is, I think if that had happened without the recorders, it probably would have also happened without the running. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah.
How much running are you doing at the moment?
I'm kind of thinking, because it's been so long since we've had a catch up, you know, I'm nervous. The things that I want to just offload to you, Rob.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to come out and make the way onto the podcast.
Oh, well, those exciting soap opera secrets that we normally root through.
Yeah, can you believe he said that? That guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally inappropriate for me to quote this comedian directly, but I was at the gig where he said, dun, dun, dun.
Oh, shit, the recorder's bust.
Ah, we're on tape. So, well, I think I have seen you since Brighton Half, but right, nevertheless, let's talk Brighton Half. It's, first of all, it seems to me that that's one of those funny things which is simultaneously seems a long time ago now, and isn't that long ago, is it?
No, it's like less than 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I was so good.
Had you done a half before? I can't
remember. My first half marathon.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I kind of, in the... signed up for it because Comedia, the comedy club,
yes,
we love, we're putting a team in to raise funds for their trust that they do to help working class kids from working class backgrounds to become part of the arts.
Yeah.
And
which is great.
Yeah, so
people
they
don't
said
get to do that anymore.
And I happened to be playing comedian that weekend, so they said come and do the marathon with us. I was like, oh, okay. And yeah, just managed the, like before I would have been very rigid and tried to follow a training program that existed on my watch and my phone and followed instructions. But this time, I just said, I'm going to wing this. I will do 2 5Ks a week,
good,
midweek, and then at the weekend, I'll do a run that gets progressively longer,
yep,
until about 2 weeks before the marathon, and then I'll just toddle in the last few weeks.
So what was your longest run?
For the marathon, 11.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay, good.
Yeah. So... and then, yeah, these runners really were the business. So
the hawkers made it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to happen without them.
And so you were part of a Comedia team.
I was.
Did you all run together or did you shake them off?
I ran initially with Richard. So we had, I mean, I say we had a time goal in mind. I didn't think there was a chance in hell of doing it. Myself, I just kind of, it just seemed too long,
yeah,
the run. So I was keeping an eye on myself and Richard, we're going to try and do it. We kind of put ourselves in maybe 2 hours.
Right.
And we stayed together for the first half.
Uh-huh.
And then he said he would come back for a bit. And I said, I'm just going to see if I can keep this up. And yeah, didn't, kept going, but I was feeling pain then.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, it's just not going to happen really, is it?
Yeah. What kind of pain? In your foot or?
Oh, no, just
in your
raggy,
body.
Raggy running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Terrible posture.
Yeah, like you'd worn yourself out a bit and it was costing, yeah.
And bad toilet vibes as well. And
I feel like that hasn't necessarily completely abated from what you were saying. I'm aware that we're in the back corner of the park here.
Yeah, but we're circling the toilet in the middle. So
yeah, thank goodness.
It's going to be quite close. But
so I'm not used to this because Paul's got Bear Grylls skills. He'll just say,
really?
Give me a minute, and he goes behind a bush.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, I hope I'm not sharing too much by telling the world that, but I think everyone's worked it out.
Well, it's useful.
It's a useful skill, but not one I've adopted. Not one I want.
Yeah.
So you're... It's halfway through.
It's halfway.
You pulled ahead of the other fella, but you're feeling pretty...
I'm feeling pretty good, yeah. And we've done the hills, crucially.
Right, yeah.
As well. So I'm like, okay. I'm just going to see if I can keep going. And kept going. I was slowing down around 17, 18K.
Yep.
And yeah, then you know, 2021, you're like, this is, it's getting close, like.
Yeah.
So you don't notice it, but you do get a bit faster.
Yep.
And
it's the absolute inspiration of a finish line, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is why we talk about the high concept to the finish line. It's when it helps you. It's wonderful.
It's brilliant.
And when it doesn't, it's pretty, you have to try and forget about it.
And got a bit faster, and I had miscalculated the pace I needed to be running at.
Yep.
So I was running a bit faster than I needed to.
You've just done the maths wrong.
Done the maths wrong. I saw the finish line ahead, and I said, that can't be the finish line.
Yeah.
There's another 500 beyond that. And I was like, no, it says finish. Just keep going. That was 1:58.
Yep.
So I think I could do this.
Yeah.
I might be okay, maybe I can.
And did you, Tom Cruise? Did you go flat out, hands up in front like this?
Flat out. Yeah. However, that is the other thing about the Hokas. They don't feel like running shoes if you get any faster than 5 minutes a kilometre for me. So if I try to sprint now, at the end, I feel like I'm in clown shoes.
Yeah, they're not Tom Cruise shoes, they're cruising shoes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So 99% of the time, that's the kind of running I want to do. So
yeah, that's what you need. Yeah.
In fairness to them, they did get me over the line in 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 20 seconds.
Woohoo! Yeah. Fantastic. What a satisfying time. You know, now you don't want to do any more halves because you don't want
to. No. I'll never better that.
The next one you do is 2 hours and 2 minutes, and you're like, forget it! Yeah. I'm never running again! So have
the other
you.
Thing,
go on.
Just for listeners, if you look up the Brighton Half Marathon times, you won't find my time on the website because we actually faked it.
Oh, no.
On the day, we just, my entry just didn't happen.
Right.
So we had to photocopy one of the skilled graphic artists that Comedian employs, mocked up a race number.
Oh my God, this is really bad. Brandon Coventry does not condone this behaviour in relation to official events.
Yes, all of our sponsors would never be up for this.
Oh, congratulations, so, you actually didn't do the Brighton half.
No.
No, okay.
So maybe I do need to do it.
Yeah, you do.
Now to kind of get that time up. Yeah, because I'm on just talk. Otherwise, I'm not.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, it's not. It's totally unproven.
Yeah.
You know, Eliud Kipchoge did a marathon in that amount of time, but it's not official.
Unbelievable.
It's not official. Yeah, that is weird, isn't it? To think he's basically running twice as fast.
But do you know what? The guy who ran the... I can't believe
that. There's a van coming.
The guy who won the London Marathon... He only did it in like 2 hours and 2 minutes or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, everybody's getting close to 2 hours now.
Yeah, that's right. It's weird the way the whole culture speeds up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It's a crazy thing.
Yeah.
So, but then, you know, in terms of the next thing, you really, that's you for the year so far, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean...
Are you still getting out on a week-by-week basis?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
And it's annoying me that I'm not.
Yeah.
But I seem to kind of... I just found the time the training was taking... just hard to fit in.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like, okay, I want to put more time into a few other things.
Yeah, well, we know what's going on with each other work-wise. I find the opposite. The time I spend running makes it very difficult for me to ever do any work. But there we are.
It is hard.
It's the nature of the beast.
What's the laundry? Kind of clothes on.
Actually, that reminds you, I should tell our listeners that if they're enjoying us talking, they can hear us being funny this weekend. If you're listening to this new episode, we're both doing the gigs in Dorset, aren't we?
We're in Bridgeport.
Bridgeport on Friday.
And then...
Verwood.
Verwood. Two tragically underserved parts of the country for rail.
We'll be going there by kayak and on foot. So we're leaving. This is the beginning of the journey.
We didn't think of paraglide. We could do that.
Yeah, we could do that. Depends on the prevailing winds. But I was quite excited because there's what sounds like it's always a nice park run, but there aren't that many park runs in Dorset, but there is one in Bridport.
Right.
And I was like, oh, sounds good. St Mary's is called. And I looked at it. It looks nice. Planning to get down there on Saturday, and when we got our confirmations, We're not staying in Bridport, are we?
No.
We're staying in Ilminster, which is great. I mean, that's the Beastie Boys' favourite Dorset town. Back again with the Ilminster behaviour. But you know, we've got a licence to Ilminster. And I can't stand it. Can't stand it! I know you're playing it! But I'm hoping that someone's driving from Ilminster to Bridport on Saturday morning. That's what I'm trying to say. Morning magpies. Two magpies and a robin. Check it
out. Simon's going to drive to Bridport. Did you just say?
No, I'm hoping that someone will.
Someone?
Yeah. What I want is a running commentary, running and comedy fan, of which there are surprisingly few because people who like to run tend to go to bed because they're sensible. But anyway, I want someone to come
to
the...
They don't have to come
to the gig. Yeah, but I want them to.
Yeah.
So we can establish a rapport.
Yeah, because then, it's just annoying if they have you in the car and you're, you know, doing jokes for them and they're like, I don't know whether this is funny. I haven't seen it in the setting.
Yeah, that's right. Or, you know, you're actually doing bits and they don't know. So people are like, this is hilarious. Yeah. And I'm thinking, this is just my set.
Well, that's true. You could really pass that off.
This is new, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
I'm going in.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Well, there we go. We both just took a rest stop in the traditional way.
Yes.
Non-Tonkinson style. It's a new block. It's quite nice, isn't it?
It's lovely.
Well, should we do a figure eight and go around this part?
Let's go, yeah.
Let's do it.
So, oh, my God, it's gotten hot.
Yeah, it's warm, and that's nice. I mean, it's nice, but... Yeah. This is good. I'm going to stop and get a picture of this tree. We were saying last week how the horse chestnuts are in their pomp, but this is one of those variants that's got stupidly pink flowers. They're so bright. And yeah, someone else is... Was someone filming something here when we set off? I think they were.
There were people...
Yeah, they've gone now.
...planting in those beds around the trees.
Oh, maybe they were gardening.
Yeah.
Rather than filming. They were, I always get those mixed up.
That some hashtag was torchlight bearers or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, nice. Yeah, this is literally, we're back at the pond in Victoria Park and it's much nicer than when we last went past.
Yeah.
Two juvenile great crested grebes out in the middle in the fountain.
Yeah, plubling away. At the back.
So, are you going to do any more events?
So, I'm in for...
Oh, look, there's a duckling, sorry. Oh.
I think I've pretty much inveigled myself into comedians running culture now. So, the manager, owner of Comedia lives in the southwest, and he's... booked me for Bath Community the weekend of the Bath Half Marathon in
October, is it?
Yeah.
I keep going on that. Oh, look at the size of those. That's an enormous fish.
I'll take a peek.
Yeah, there's a big orange on there. The big grey one swam away and they're hard to get. Oh, see, you need some context. Get down in the water and lie next to it. Honestly,
he's like 2 feet, that guy.
Yeah, they're absolutely immense. See if we can get those grey ones beyond. Look at that, dude.
Oh, that guy too. Dun, 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 they're dun, even bigger. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. I hope it doesn't eat that goose. Dun, 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 dun.
I didn't think fish that big would have enough to eat in a pond this size.
Well, you know,
loads
I say,
of them.
The park's very well used. A couple of park users wade in. Who's going to say different? Yeah, they're not just big. There's about a good half dozen just in this corner.
Yeah. Different varieties.
Yeah, they're not...
There's these grey guys.
Yeah, there's something carpy, aren't they? They're like koi carp, but some of them are just grey. They're not catfish, which are often the big fish you see in fresh
water. What's the orange massive goldfish?
Yeah. Basically, looks like either that is a massive goldfish or we've shrunk.
Yeah, maybe
Wait
it's like nuclear
waste. On the top of someone's television. Yeah, someone's been dumping isotopes.
Yeah, the Simpsons fish.
I saw a big fish. It's quite nice to see, actually, particularly with the contemporary discussion of our waterways. I was on the Regent's Canal. And I was looking down in its water thinking, that looks nice, you know, because the canals are not that deep.
Yeah.
And it was really clear and there were sort of healthy plants growing up. I thought, that's nice.
Yeah.
And I saw a massive fish there. This was near here, right?
Yeah.
And I think it was a pike.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know you've got pike and canals.
No.
That's really... But my mum told me you do, so I think that it was.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
normally you just
So
see,
the
like,
Bath Half used to be... I've done the Bath Half a couple of times as a warm-up for the London Marathon, so it used to be in like March.
When I finished the half marathon, I was like, oh, now I know I'm never going to do a marathon.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is just too long.
Yeah, it's far.
I know. But I think all the marathon runners are listening going, blah, blah, blah.
No, I think you're onto something, because I think there's two things about that. I think one, I'd wind you back to where you said, I'll wing it. And of course, it's not like you didn't train for the Brighton Half, but you did factor it in to a kind of speech marks in the air, normal running life, right? And I think that the other side of that is, and this is why half marathon is such an excellent distance, and it's Kate Carter who said it, but I'm sure other people have said it too, that... They shouldn't call it a half marathon because it's diminutive.
Yeah.
You should call it like a super race.
Yeah.
Big challenge.
A double 10.
Yeah, exactly. That's the double 10.
Yeah.
Although that sounds like darts. Oh.
We're going.
Let's split the difference. We went different ways.
I had a different figure eight.
Yeah, I did the loop. Oh, you meant a figure eight of this bit.
Yeah,
let's not do that. Sorry. So, yeah. And I think specifically... That's exactly why a half marathon is such an interesting and excellent distance, is that it is a journey into the zone of real long distance.
Yeah.
You're going to, basically, unless you're a whippet, you're going to get into that realm where you run out of fuel, you run out of initial run energy.
Yeah.
I think that very roughly everyone does that after running for about an hour and a half. You start to think, okay, I've now burnt my breakfast.
What am I doing here now?
Working on stamina, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's all about. That's why that journey from kind of 10 to 13 is so interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's because you're, what does Ben Kenobi say? You're taking your first steps into a wider world. And actually, although marathons are also brilliantly difficult, and that's one of the things I love about them having... done loads is it just never gets easy, you know what I mean? It's always worth doing one because they always break you or nearly do. But on the other hand, it's the same, it's just a bigger version of the same challenge.
Yeah,
you know, it's like when you start out in comedy and you write your first 10 minutes, but your second 10 minutes is not the same journey. It's just the fleshing out of the first 10.
Yeah. And then you realise you're just stretching out the first 10 over a longer period.
Yeah, and actually, if you just stretch it out, you don't know properly, you die. So the analogy is good. Yeah. But I think that, you see what I mean about marathons? It's basically the same, a bigger version of the same problem. Morning magpies. But you do have to, you know, you basically have to train fairly assiduously for 4 months.
4 months, yeah. Yeah, which is kind of mathematically similar to the half, which is the 2 months I gave it.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is, I think that everyone has their different distances, you know. I think that some people, you know, I think that, like you were saying, oh, marathon runs would be like blah. I had plenty of people who've run marathons and half marathons and gone, no, I'm going back to 10Ks.
Yeah.
Because that's where I live. You know,
well,
it's fair enough.
Well, I found the first 10 of the Brighton half, like, so enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's a real... That was the win, actually, of the day.
Yeah.
Was the... having that period of... not feeling uncomfortable doing it.
And do you think, but I wonder if you'd been there to do a 10K, this is what we're saying about finish lines, would you have applied a different pressure to yourself and actually not access that enjoyment?
Well, I guess if I ran for a 10K, I wouldn't have done an 11 mile run before it.
No, that's right.
So
that really encompassed
you. I had kind of, I guess it's that thing of pushing the body further.
Yep.
And then,
so it feels like it's within your power.
The 10K would have been, quite a nice jaunt.
I think that also, that's interesting when you get to marathons, particularly, you know, obviously, you're worried about it. You've got to put lots of thought into it, lots of planning.
Yeah.
It's really difficult sometimes to know what to do with your brain in the first half. Because the whole problem of running the marathon shouldn't really present itself until you've run 10, 12, 14 miles.
Yeah.
That's when you start doing the work. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember in New York getting to 8-9 miles and thinking, pretty tired now.
And were you with anybody running New York?
No, just me. And I was like, this is a problem.
Yeah.
Because it's early to be feeling this.
It does. I think as well, having Richard for that first half was really kind of took my mind off it, because I tend to count when I'm running.
Right.
And
what do you count? Just up?
Yeah. Just count to... I feel like a step is a metre.
Yep.
So I try and count the metres and then match it to my watch after a while. Oh, God.
Yeah.
So tedious.
Well, you're like Paula Radcliffe.
Oh, yeah, she does that, doesn't she?
Yeah. She's quite a good runner.
Yeah.
Soon the best we've ever produced, thank you very much. I was thinking that about, it's interesting, the distraction. It's great to run with someone, although much as I love it, I've never really done it in events, partly because I tend to be going quite fast, and also because I like to, the other thing I love to do is listen to music.
Yeah.
This ultra I did the other day, which listeners have heard about, but you haven't, so let me give you the rough picture.
This is what we were meeting up to talk about.
Yeah, 50K over the Penifan Massive in Banau Brecheniog.
So describe the terrain.
Well, it's a kind of a wheel of mountains, very high peaks in the middle, sort of, I think they're about 2,500 feet, and then lots of long spurs and valleys.
Wow.
And the route basically climbed up onto the ridge slowly, which is an interesting challenge talking about last week, because it's a very gentle climb.
Right.
And running ultras, you're not really supposed to run on the climbs. It's just a stride up, keep your pace up.
Oh, right.
And then run the rest of the time.
Oh.
But this long, gentle climb, it was basically a... You had to run it because it was long and it was raining and it was the morning, you know, it's where we warmed
and
up.
And it's the beginning of the run.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Then you go down and up and climb towards the peak.
So how far have you got to climb initially?
Well, climbing for about I keep answering this question and I'm just guessing, but I think it's about like 4 miles, 8k, okay.
Yeah,
maybe 10k,
okay,
and then and then you go down, and then there's a proper stiff climb. Now that's where the bit where you walk the hills totally kicks in. You know what I mean? It's like a proper mountain,
right?
Zigzagging up rocks type deal. And then get to the top of that, and you run up towards the top, and then basically that pattern repeats itself for many hours. So you get near the top, you clamber down, you run down to the valley floor. You get to the aid station, which is in civilization, and then you stride back up and run back down. You do that 3 times, and then the last time you get to the very top of Penyffyn, but then you go down and up over 2 more peaks, Cribbin and Ferny Big. And then you've still got about 7 miles to get back to where you started.
And what did you think about?
Well, I think that's so the question, because I was listening to music, was really enjoying it. Checked in, had some really nice, and this is the same in the Race of the Stones, really good, like short conversations with people, basically nice chats with people who aren't going the same speed.
Yeah.
So you sort of meet, chat. In the case of the Race of Stones, I was sometimes passing the other people, but in the Bracken Beacons, they were always passing me. Yeah. but lovely, and some strangers, some friends of the show, you know. And that's really nice.
That's nice. People know to come up and talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you must be a good, I guess, thing to take their mind off their running then.
Yeah, everything, the fundamental thing is to externalise, isn't it? To get out in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why this is a old thing I've been around the block on, but it's true. I like listening to music, and some people occasionally say, oh, you can't enjoy the world you're in. And I'm like, no, you listen to music, it damps down all the mechanical, boring thinking. Step, 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 where do I put my foot next?
Okay.
And gets you thinking, oh, look at the view, look at the world, look at the people, what do I think about life, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really that last big climb, and there's no one else around because it's all strung out, and my music wasn't working anymore because of all the rain. And I was just thinking, climbing, difficult, step, step, rock, climb, difficult. And I mean, I enjoyed it. I didn't, even in that moment, I didn't mind it. I recognised that it was the task at hand.
Yeah.
I was pleased to be doing it. And most importantly, I think, I recognised that despite it being hard, it was possible. I was going to manage it. That's the interesting thing, the fundamental thing with the old ultra is that they kind of make a point of not taking you to that line. In fact, they probably do take you to the line. You know, a friend of ours was doing a massive ultra at the weekend. I think 100 miler? Might have been 100k, but I think it's 100 miles. Anyway, they ran 70. And then they had to say, yeah, I've got to stop. You know, and you know that. You know that setting out. You know, I was thinking, I think I can do this. But I also knew, if I can't do it, I'm just going to stop. You know, there's really none of this hanging in there getting to the finish line. If the finish line is another 30 miles away, you can't hang in there. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a different game, really. And it is nice when you interact with the old individual. In fact, I'm glad I forgot to telephone this last week. It was absolutely amazing. The longest, toughest bit was the third big, long climb up to the very top of the mountain. So fantastic. Climax, getting to the top of the mountain, even though it was nowhere near the end of the run. And as I got to the top, desperately tried to get my phone back to life so I could get a picture. And the rainy, it was all in cloud, you know. Anyway, this guy said to me, oh, Rob. And I thought, oh, it's one of the, you know, somebody who knows me from running Coventry.
Yeah.
No, it's one of my oldest friends, brothers. Up there with his family. Hi, Rob, how you doing?
Oh, just on a walk.
Yeah, just at the top of the mountain. I mean, just the most ridiculous kind of serendipitous coincidence.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I said to him, I said, so nice to see you. It's good to see you guys. But also, it's just so handy. Take my picture, will you?
Yeah.
There's a picture of me on this last week on top of Ernie Fan that's taken by Marcus Sherrard. What a pleasure it was to see him. And also, I was soaking wet. I was wearing my running cap because of the weather. And I think they spotted me straight away because they'd seen me doing the London Marathon. Was it 2 weeks, 3 weeks before? Because their son did the London Marathon.
Wow.
In a similar kind of time to me. So it was like, oh, there goes that son. And there goes Rob Dewing.
Yeah.
She's his mate from school. And then they used that recognition knowledge and way to... I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing.
But isn't it like, I mean, I know we're always coming up with kind of metaphors for running.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wait.
It's like, but that thing of, I guess, you having to enjoy, deciding to enjoy the top of the mountain despite knowing that the rest of the run was ahead of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the, I guess the riches that were there at that point were, you know, it was quite a few things to put your mind into rather than be, how am I ever going to finish this?
Yeah, for initially and immediately, yeah. Even if you don't bump into a random lucky person, it's suddenly people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just such a journey, I think.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things I love about mountains, I think, more than the events is... Morning Magpies, you often find yourself just with no one around at all.
Yeah.
And when you do, you can't really imagine what it's like when the other people are there. Do you know what I mean? You know there are. You know they're going to turn up. You know you're not actually the last person on Earth.
Yeah.
But in terms of perception, that's exactly what you are.
Yeah.
I came down that last muddy stretch down to the last aid station. I knew. I'd even seen people ahead of me, but only when the cloud cleared and they were far ahead. And I was like, I can't...
What people?
I can't imagine that the other people in this event ran here. I can't imagine that this event exists. Yeah. The little arrows saying you're going the right way, like the tiniest beacon in a kind of universe-sized nothingness. It's crazy, but brilliant. It sounds negative, but I love that. It's a weird and wonderful thing. And like, interesting what you were saying about that, you know, that moment of lots of things to bring you out of yourself, lots of things to give you that little jump and put you back on your feet after the toughness of the climb.
Yeah, or just even just train yourself to not go into the future.
Yeah. Well, also, I was giving myself a hard time last week because I hadn't properly, you know, put my glass on and a good look at the contour lines on the map. So without thinking about it too hard, I imagine those three peaks on the top to be just a gentle kind of up and down, like a, you know, breezy. There's a photo on the website of people sort of running up a gentle slope in the sunshine. I thought, yeah, that's what we'll be doing. And it's actually blooming, you know, down and up like staircase steep in the cloud. And I was giving myself a hard time for that, but now you mention it, not knowing that was coming.
Yeah.
That really enhanced my enjoyment at that point.
Yeah.
Like if I'd been, and the same with it being cloudy. You know, if I'd got to the top of Penyfan in sunshine and looked down and seen the climb to the top of Cribbin in front of me.
True,
I wouldn't have been happy.
Yeah. Turn your back.
So sometimes what we don't know, I mean, it's a fundamental thing, isn't it? That I think that we're evolved to be able to be effectively ambitious and to plan and achieve with the evolutionary strand, with a slight inability to fully imagine the future. Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't address it because it would be too much. I think I never did. That's a massive job. About anything. You know, about cooking the dinner.
Yeah.
So it's leaning right into those skills or lack of.
Yeah. What is it? This too shall pass. Or is it the other one? First steps first.
Yeah.
Do also, the next right thing. That's, these are all wisdom from, recovery wisdom.
Yeah. Well, one of them is the guy who handed me really a particularly dark moment in Brighton. And he handed me a little blue scrap of paper which said on it in darker blue pen, you know, it's an affirmation essentially. And it said, one step forward. Just fantastic.
Yeah.
I've always felt guilt that I didn't, you know, I kind of took it off him in a kind of angry, queasy politeness. Instead of going, yes, thank you.
I know.
But, and also I lost it. I took it back to Brighton. And I lost that affirmation, and it's been a really good lesson to me to say, it's okay, it was just a bit of paper.
Yeah,
you could write it down again.
If he's listening, next time Rob's doing the Breck Marathon.
Yeah, could you do me another one?
Yeah.
Could do with that. And it's one step forward. A note on queasiness. What did you do? What did you do fueling-wise when you... did you have breakfast? Did you?
Ill-advised. No breakfast.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That's interesting. Anything on the way around? Is sweets?
Nah. No, I gobbled the bananas they gave me at the end. But I didn't feel the lack of it now, to be honest.
Yeah.
So it might be something I'd end up doing again.
Yeah, I think the banana on the finish line is it's going to do a lot of good.
What's with all the walking at the finish line, though? Making you walk down a whole truncated lane away from...
Yeah, that's an issue. Yeah. It's a kind of tunnel of suffering.
Yeah, that one.
I think the best one of those is... Best is a very interesting word to use. Hey, let's go on the grass a bit and go down by the canal. To kind of as you come into the mouth, the London Marathon, just amazing. You do this hard turn, you go under a bridge, it says 385 yards. You're like, I can't believe I've done it. The palace is there. You see the finish line. Then there's screens, a voice, someone announcing, stands. You know, it's a really special moment.
Yeah.
And you get to the finish line, you can't believe you've done it. You see the clock, you've got whatever time you've got. Someone hands you a medal, and then the next hour of your life is a rustling, foil-clad, bleedy,
shivering
limp, where you're trying not to...
Cramp.
If you do lie on the ground, people say, you're okay. And you say, no, I'm not. And they say, what I really meant was, you have to keep going.
Yeah.
That's where our friend Gavin lay down and thought, I'd just sit down here for a second, remember? And he got put his hand down on the grass and got stung by a wasp.
It just feels
like one too many, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And, it's only like another quarter of a mile, but it's like a reverse Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, you come over that finish line, you're like, yay! And then you come out of the bit where you meet your family and like, I don't think I'm going to puke, but I can't walk any faster than this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Where's the thing I gave you to mind? Where is it? Do you have it? The gel?
It's a tough time. Yeah. And I found the New York one of those the worst. Partly because I'd had a horrible time. Partly because it's bloody miles. There's nowhere to sit at all. And they're quite, keep moving down. It's like, oh God.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Stop it. What you need to do then is to bump into a TV star. That's the idea. But obviously, I bumped into Ellie Kemper, who plays Kimmy Schmidt. And I'd just been watching Kimmy Schmidt.
Shit!
She was the... Schmidt. She was
Kimmy Schmidt!
She was the equivalent of she has this brother on top of the mountain. So these things do happen, don't they?
Yeah.
It's crazy, really. So, yeah. Mate, you can manifest stuff. That thing where you just think about something you want and then you get it. People keep going on about. It's true. Mind you, that's not strictly true. I didn't think, as I finished the New York Marathon, hope Kimmy Schmidt comes to life and appears. That wasn't really my wish.
Did she know you from running commentary?
Yeah, that's right. She said, yeah, big fan of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about this. Just saying I was feeling queasy when I got that affirmation. The other thing I forgot to mention to people I was telling all about my ultra last week. This is a great path, isn't it, this bit here?
Yeah.
It's a real country walk. You're in between the road on the south side of Victoria Park and the canal just outside.
Yeah.
And it's
got a nice moisture level
and
in the clay.
And we're just in that phase, aren't we? It's all just greenery and white flowers.
Greenery.
It's so May, June. It's a bit glorious.
Springy. Yeah.
So apparently it's to do with salt. So, you know, what do you call it? Electrolytes.
Right.
And I've never really favoured the electrolyte drink, or I've had carb gels that not got on with them, you know. When I hydrate on the long run, I hydrate with, what's that stuff called? What do you call it? Water. And but I was at the National Running Show, and this woman who knows her stuff on the Bad Boy running stand, I told her I'd taken salt tablets in the morning for the Race of the Stones, which was, you know, really far and really hot. And she said, it's no good, because You've got to top it up. It won't last you all day.
Ah, right.
So, anyway, and I was trying to... I didn't want to do anything I'd never tried or anything risky.
Yeah.
Particularly as I'm quite... Yeah, my stomach's quite sensitive. What's sure. Running. The rest of the time, ironclad. I don't get anything in there. But, yeah, so anyway, I tried these things called salt sticks, which aren't sticks. They're little tablets. You take two. They're a bit powdery. Apparently, they give off their salt best if you suck them before you chew them. So it's like an extra strong mint. You have to be really patient, you know?
All right.
And you can take them, like, once an hour, once a half hour, all day long. And I didn't have them before the Banabrakeniog, so it was a bit risky. But I tell you, they were great. They were like lemon and lime. So they're really sharp.
Yeah.
And also salty, which some people might find a bit ugh. But I mean, all of that actually really works for my palate, even the rest of the time.
But I'm wondering, that's supposed to hydrate you.
Well, it helps you hydrate better. Okay. Yes, so you've got to replace salts whilst not dehydrating. So, you know, a spoonful of Marmite will also be counterproductive. So I'm drinking water as well.
Water on top.
Yeah. And, but they were great. Really, I mean, really just a nice taste experience.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure really helped me with my chemical balance because I never got that feeling of kind of, queasy. Queasy just sounds like a kind of sickness, but it's more complicated than that. I feel it's that feeling like I've run too far and I feel a bit kind of ironed out.
Yeah.
They say that's your salt levels. So I did that all day. Never felt like that. And would absolutely recommend them to anyone.
That's
good. The only downside, except whatever works for you, obviously. But the fantastic one-off downside was when I crept down to the pub later, feeling strong enough, proud to feel strong enough to want a pint of lager. Went to the pub, got a pint of lager and a pint of sparkling water. Soda water, just to really, you know, and I sipped at both, and my mouth, I think that those salt sticks have just kind of stripped out the inside of my mouth, and it hurts so much.
Oh, wow.
I had this kind of like taste bud pain explosion, which then led to a cramp in my whole face, and it was like, you know, cheers everyone, what a big success. I clutch his head, and then I had this terrible moment where I thought, I'm not going to be able to drink. But second sip was a bit better. Third sip was fine. So, you know, not so bad, hey? And that was really... The salt sticks thing is a big discovery for me because that's something... Fueling is something I've really been working on. Let's just head back to the lake and then we're done. We've done enough.
Yeah, all that talk of drinks.
Yeah, we should have one. Some beverages.
Yeah.
I was... Talking of drinks and beverages and facilities, you know, on this ultra, there weren't any toilets.
Ooh.
My needs were luckily behaved appropriately.
Right, yeah.
And a couple of times I did find a hidden spot, you know, much course, like a mountain walker.
Yeah.
But
do you think there was restrictions or something?
No, I just think they were expecting... absolute badasses. Not badasses.
Yeah.
That would have been really, that wouldn't have been any fun at all. So, yeah, let's wrap this up and then see if we can catch one of these giant fish for lunch. So I feel like I've told you a lot about that, but is there anything else? When is the old, what's it called? The Bath Half.
Bath Half is in October, the middle of October.
There you go, guys. So I think that's giving you an option because I know that a lot of... I'm trying to get Paul at the moment to... he's going to see if he can do the Race of Stones. And depending on how he feels about that, he might come and do the Yorkshire Marathon, which I've got a feeling, by the sound of what you say, is on the same day. So Marathon Club, we're all meeting in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
Half Marathon Club can all meet in Bath.
Yeah.
And people who don't want to do any running at all can just go to your gig in Bath.
Yeah.
And good old Comedia, because they did... they also facilitated my Brighton Full Marathon, and indeed... gave some of the ticket money. I did the gigs again that weekend.
Right.
And they gave some of the ticket money to Sarcoma UK in memory of Phil Gerrard. So good for those guys.
Yeah.
Nice to do a bit of fundraising with the running. It helps.
Yeah.
And I wanted to thank everyone who sponsored me for Velindra Cancer Care, which Rod Gilbert got me onto, which is what I did the Brecon Beacons for. And that was about £1,200 in the end. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Look at these
maybe
ducklings.
Maybe it's worth
coming.
Giving a shout out. But if there's any running commentary listeners who are also cyclists in the East London or other parts of London area, I do volunteering for a food company called
of course you do.
Made in Hackney, do a Meals on Wheels service on bikes on Thursdays and Tuesdays afternoons, and we're always looking for people to take on a route.
Yeah, I bet there's people who are listening who'd like to do that. So what's the what's it called again?
Made in Hackney is the website, and if you sign up, if you send an email, they'll get back to you and give a more concise clear explanation of what you'd be doing. You kind of show up at a kitchen spot at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, and you and another cyclist, you cycle in pairs, would be given a route which consists of about 15 drops around, basically could be anywhere from Victoria Park north up to Stamford Hill. You kind of, you know, just do that for a couple of hours.
And do you do that all the time?
I do that. I think I might have said it on the podcast, actually. Maybe.
No, it's I just think that'd be what makes you fit enough to say, no, I haven't run for ages, and then knock out 5 miles like you just did.
Yeah.
Nice skills.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.